Hey, hey, this is the Bachelor Masters. I'm your co-host, Craig. With me, as always, is co-host Caitlin and co-host EZR.
Hi.
I think that's the first time I've ever introduced us on this podcast.
Yeah, why'd you do it?
Well, I got to explain to our listeners that they're going to be doing alarm testing in my building. So at some point today, I would imagine at some point this morning when we're recording, there's going to be alarms going off.
I totally thought you were lying. I still kind of think you're lying.
No, they're going to do it. It's just a matter of like when. It's a big building. It's just a matter of when the alarms are going to reach my corner of the building. And then at some point, they're going to ring inside my unit.
Cool. And they don't tell you like what time to expect this?
Yeah, they said the exact times we were recording.
Oh, no. All right. Well, so, you know, we can make this a short episode, I think, because episode of TV.
EZR insisted we record right now, so we're going to have to grin and bear the alarms.
Yeah, but the it happened to line up that there is not much going on here, right? Normally I have...
Okay, so then we're done. All right, well, bye.
Craig, you're so salty. Have you had the coffee yet?
I've been drinking coffee.
Okay.
I just don't understand why we couldn't have recorded at night, EZR. EZR has some mysterious phantom
mystery projects to work. I have my work's all over the place, but I also have a plumber coming in here that's going to be going like, so I think it works out great. All we need is Caitlin, any home improvement projects.
No, nothing scheduled for today, although there's always a chance. Right now, I'm recording in my bedroom, and both cats are in here, so there's a chance we might get a cat fight in the background.
Ooh,
cool. Yeah, you never know. These two have been, they already had several this morning, because they're in a mood or something, I don't know.
Cat fights, Ivan, Aaron, you go ahead. Start it off.
Broed out, bro. I'm really turned sour on Aaron. I mean, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt, but all he speaks in is language of bro, and it's just so annoying. It's like, get over it. It's like Tia. I didn't want to be so critical of Tia, like saying vagina so much, because you know it's not my place as a man to tell a woman to not talk about her vagina. But the shtick is getting a little old,
but
Aaron,
it is your place. As a bro, to tell a bro to stop talking about bros.
Yes, exactly. As a bro, I can tell a bro to stop broing out bro. I mean, he was using bro words that I had never heard before.
What does that mean?
Like, he was, like, forming complete sentences just on bro terminology.
You mean, like, a launch point as, like, broski, brozofsensen? What do you mean? What?
We don't have a clip, but he... At some point, he was when
you could have asked me
when what's her name Chelsea went off with Ivan. He was just like, yo, bro, that's uncool, bro. I mean, I'm not gonna be able to do it justice, but he was speaking in broisms.
So he just said bro a lot.
Well, he did say bro a lot, but he said other bro like terms as well.
Chelsea kept wiping off Aaron's kiss whenever he kissed her before.
Yeah, not a good
Ivan
sign.
Kissed her. Yeah, and it's bothering me that they kept telling everyone to pretend until whatever else happened, because no one kisses for the first time in broad daylight like that, right? That was really weird. Like, it didn't seem... Like, that was the first time they had decided to get together.
Who, Ivan?
Ivan and Chelsea.
Oh.
No, because it was a weird... You're right, EZR. Like, that conversation they showed between Chelsea and Ivan on, like, one of those day beds or whatever they were on. Well, first, the order that we were shown, which is definitely the same day because they're all wearing the same outfits, was, like, she makes out with Aaron for a bit and wipes off his kiss. And they're, like, laughing and stuff. And then she goes to chat to Ivan. And out of nowhere, seemingly, suddenly they're making out.
Did you catch it in the previews for next week?
Yes.
What? No. Oh. But don't tell me unless it's really relevant and you're not just going to speculate.
I mean, it's no, relevant. It's really relevant.
Okay.
Apparently, Wells confronts Chelsea and ooh, was like, did no, you hook up?
He confronts Ivan.
Oh, and he's like, did you hook up with Chelsea during the time when we were all in a hotel because of the tornado warning or whatever?
Yes. They show a conversation with Wells and Ivan where Wells is like, you broke some rules, Ivan. Do you have anything you want to confess? Like, things like
that. Well, that seems, I mean, why is that?
Yeah, okay. I don't understand. Why is the hotel, because there's a tropical storm warning, why is that off limits?
Yeah, why didn't they film them? Why'd they have to be separated? That whole tropical storm thing. I mean, a lot of this episode was filler, was just packed with filler material. Them having conversations of stuff we've been told ad nauseum. Oh, they're on a date? Who's on a date right now? Oh, these two, you know, these four. So it's very, very...
Yeah. It's confusing to me that, you know, obviously they're in a rush to evacuate at first, but as soon as they set up in the hotel, why didn't they just film, like, a day or whatever that they were in the hotel for? I don't get why they didn't just do that.
Yeah, there must be some reason. But, yeah, that whole Ivan Aaron Chelsea thing made little sense, especially because Aaron, he doesn't seem that into her anyway. He just doesn't want to lose, but why not lose a few weeks before the show's over? Other than the fact that you get paid per day.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is extremely weird in all senses, right? So we said, like, obviously something has occurred that we did not get to see. Then who knows? Is, like, Ivan even into Chelsea? Is Aaron even into Chelsea? Do any of these people even like each other? Is unclear to me still. And I gotta say, I did not like... Well, Ivan's been giving me shady vibes, basically, this whole time. But I did not love that his approach to Aaron... You know, Aaron's the easiest person to provoke into having a physical fight with you that's on that beach.
Yeah.
Because he's ready to go at most times. But you could tell that Ivan was specifically hoping that he could get Aaron to punch him so Aaron just gets sent home, and therefore Chelsea has no other choice than to give Ivan his rose. And I'm like, you were already winning, I think, anyway. So why do you need to, like, pull out some incredibly cheap trick, you know?
Well, it was Aaron who was instigating the fight, so he had to do something.
Yes, and his move was like, let me put my face right here. It's punchable. Look at it. Do you want to punch it?
Right.
Yeah. Well, the whole season has been kind of second choices going for each other. You know, this isn't a really good scenario. Like, no one's... Everyone wants, you know, the runway model or the really hot guy. No, there's none of that. So I don't... And every time someone walks down, the producers make them say things like, wow, that guy is so hot. Look at those muscles. No one is interested in Ed. You know, that don't tell me that. It's not true. And then I question everything. And no one's interested in anybody. It just seems very career-driven. When it's fine when it's a few people doing that. But when it's everyone on the beach... it's boring. And and here's the bug. In other than that, the bug in the system, the last weeks, I thought this was the last week before the finale, right? Something crazy should happen. The problem with their little game that they have going is that they need to not do the same thing in the end of the game, just like in any game, right? At the end of Monopoly, you don't just keep going around the board. You, like, have these, like, you know, you ante up and you... I don't remember how to play Monopoly, but all the games do. you need a time when you separate everyone and you put them in a big party and you bring back Demi and you bring people on that are really hot or something. And you mix them all together with a bunch of alcohol. You don't just do the same thing you did in week one, where you just bring down more men for the leftovers. It's really not, I don't know, it's really not thought out and like an afterthought. And then we got to see the people who give us this television, right? We got to see some of the producers on screen. You don't, I mean, that is filler television. You should never show them. You should never show that there are people that they recognize on the beach that aren't on camera. That is flawed. Craig, film stuff. Mm-hmm. Isn't that flawed film something, something? I don't know. I don't know how to put it in film term. Co-host Chris.
It's non-diegetic.
Okay. Explain.
It's non-diegetic. Mm. The opposite of diegetic.
I think people need a little bit more explanation because that's not a term everyone knows.
Just what's in the world of the show, and the producers are not in the world of the show.
Okay, so like today speak, it's not canon, right? Okay. Moving on. Back to the beginning of the show, Kendall. Craig, you must have a lot to say about her. We've known her for a long time from Ari's. Did you watch Ari's season? I kind of forget.
Of course I watched Ari's season.
Oh, well, I don't remember when you started. What was your first season again?
Andy Dorfman.
Oh, my God. Okay, then you definitely watched. Whoa, okay. You should be doing the Bachelor history moments. Okay, so
finally. Well, here, play the history drop.
Okay. I have nothing history to say about her, though, unless you do.
Maybe.
Okay.
And now for some Bachelor franchise history here on Bachelor Masters.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
So,
you might remember that she has a twin sister.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She
all right.
She's from Ari's season. She seems kind of, it's funny because she seems very fake to me. Like she's trying to be quirky. But because she's in a group of non-quirky people, she has to explain how she's quirky all the time.
Well, she is quirky. There's no doubt about that.
I don't think so. I think
you remember she used to like talk to fruit and stuff.
No, that's someone else.
No,
she used
that was
to
her.
Epidermy person. There's a lady that talked to onions and like pomegranates. That's a different.
And that wasn't Kendall.
That was not Kendall. No.
Are you sure?
Positive. If I mean, maybe there's a scene where she talked to a fruit, but this is not the same lady who went off and talked to an onion and a pomegranate.
I thought it was the same woman.
Well, but sure? Did this season talk about bird mating? Because I remember that scene.
Well, she's totally into, like, animals because she's a taxidermist.
Yeah, but what she does is she reads a Wikipedia article and then is like, oh, I'm so weird. I know this weird information.
Right.
But it works in a group of people where you are a niche in that group. But in a group of people like this, it doesn't quite work because you're always having to explain your background about how you are the quirky one. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't puzzle piece fit in. Yeah. Oh, vindicated. Pulled the fire alarm just to.
I told you. We're going to have to deal with this for the rest of the episode. We're going to lose listeners because of this.
That's fine.
I mean, I think this is going to be our worst episode in a long, long time. I'm just putting that out there because the TV content that we're working with is so bad to begin with.
Yeah, this is comparable to the first episode of the season. Okay, well, let's just get this over with then. This Kendall Joe thing. The only interesting part here to me is that it felt like there was a chance for Kendall to tell Joe, let's try again, but her pride is much more important to her than that.
Well, no one wants to say no one wants to say that and knowing that the other person is not going to reciprocate.
But she could have.
Couldn't she didn't. Have?
She didn't. But
right. This, because she knows Joe's not going to reciprocate.
He might have. So
No.
Wait.
She could read the writing on the wall.
Let's see.
You had this great love story that really was real and it worked. So it makes it hard and those feelings do come back. But if she truly wanted me back, she should have told me before I got here, before I started this.
I totally feel that. It seems like Joe is saying there, if she had played her cards right, she might have gotten me back.
Yeah, actually, I would agree the way he phrased it. If she had asked him before he went on Paradise to get back together, then maybe there would have been a chance. Although the same argument comes up, right? The non-Chicago moving thing is always going to be a problem.
Sure, but what if she said, fine, I'll give Chicago a chance. I'm coming in week two of you and Serena being together. Let's see if maybe, you know, she had a chance to break them up. And honestly, as quote, good as Serena and Joe seem, they seem kind of middle school good, not 20, 30 year old good. They're just holding hands. I don't see any sexual tension. So I don't think that it's as viable as the show would make you think it is.
That's a good point. They have not gone to the boom boom room.
They've not even
mentioned it.
No, they lay down like middle schoolers do. I guess that episode of King of the Hill is the only thing that comes to my hand. They rent a hotel room to hold hands. That's what I picture them as. Just like, oh, let's just hold hands all the time and lay down in a bed. Like, I don't see any tension.
Yeah, it's okay. Unclear what the long-term viability of that coupling is. I would say the one thing that seems in favor is that I bet Serena would move to Chicago because she lives in Toronto and it's basically the same vibe.
It is the same vibe. Toronto is like the Chicago of Canada.
I mean, they're both like Midwestern cities, so it's not as big of a difference as, say, Kendall not ever wanting to leave LA, and that's where she's from, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Serena lives in Toronto, she's from Toronto. I could easily see a person from Toronto being like, yeah, Chicago seems cool.
Yeah. She'd have to get a work permit, though. How does that work?
I'm sure she has one already, because she's worked in...
Yeah, she's been filming in the U.S. So, I don't know. This is similar to Katie Thurston has posted about some of the difficulties of dating Blake post-show because he is a Canadian.
Right.
That, like, they can do visits and stuff, but figuring out timing is not the only problem. It's like, if he wants to move to the U.S. to be with her, then they might have to get married or he has to find a job here or something.
I'm sure a Canadian citizen will be fine. There was a Canadian bachelorette on American TV. They really do not. They have so much of an easier time. You know,
they do, because there's also the NAFTA thing. I don't know if you know about this, but I learned this years ago when I met a Canadian librarian who was working in the U.S. that it is very. I wouldn't say very, very easy, but it's much easier for Canadians to get jobs in America than it is for Americans to get jobs in Canada. Because of the hiring policies around the U.S. is like they have a NAFTA thing that says basically it's like, well, you know, if you're not a citizen, the next best thing is being in a NAFTA country as far as getting a work visa.
Right.
And the opposite is true.
Unless you're the other NAFTA.
Yes, the other NAFTA they don't care about, but Canada they're fine with. And the reverse is not the same, because if you want to get a job in Canada as an American, they have what's called the Canadians First hiring policy, which is like, one of those situations where your employer would have to basically write a really long justification about how, like, there is no Canadian who could do your job.
Right. Like the Canadian Fire Brigade.
Well, you know, there is like a, you talk about people stealing Americans' jobs. Every single time I meet a, you know, your typical American looking person who's like, I don't know, like in the movie industry, everyone is Canadian. So there is a lot of Canadians who move down very easily and stay. And it's totally fine with everyone. No one saying anything about that
for us. Yeah. I'd imagine for somebody like Blake or Serena, well, especially thinking of Blake with his, like, his whole job is wildlife, like, advocacy, basically, right? There's got to be an American company he could get a work permit to work for doing that, you know?
Oh, and
I don't
fine.
Know what Serena does currently, but presumably you could find a job in the U.S. that would give you work.
What does Serena do presently? Jeez, let me think. What does Serena do?
Literally no clue, but I'm sure she could find a job in the U.S. without a big deal.
Right. The alarms are going to keep going.
They're yeah, right. I like it. Okay. Riley and Marissa seem to have like a love language issue, but like they figured it out really fast. I was trying to get through all them. Tia and Blake were the really standout thing to me, so I want to make sure we get to that. That's my only thing other than... Anything else to say about anyone else?
Let me think. Are we going to talk about Riley and Marissa?
Do you guys have anything to say about it?
Oh, not too much. Craig.
I didn't do it. This has nothing to do with me. I warned you sufficiently that this was going to happen.
Mm-mm. Riley and Marissa seem, yeah, I was sort of like at the beginning of the episode when they kept on hinting that there was going to be major trouble between them. I was just like, what's going on? Because this seems weird. And then they have that conversation. It's like, everything is good again. They are totally fine. They seem very solid with each other.
Right.
Kenny and Mari, their date was disgusting.
They've had these sushi dates before.
Bachelor
in Paradise has.
I need less food fetish dates. I need less feet and food on TV. I don't want to see anyone rubbing crema on a man's hairy leg. It was...
of this. I must have just... my eyes must have crossed and I was not... I was my face was in front of the TV, but it wasn't watching it.
I mean, it's honestly better if you didn't. It was just a gross... I mean, the tacos didn't even look good, for one thing, which I guess is better to a certain respect, because if they looked really good, then that might have put me off of thinking about tacos for a little bit. But since they looked horrible, I'm like, well, the tacos I eat are different, so I don't need to think about this gross situation.
Right.
But, yeah, just a weird... First of all, my fundamental problem with this particular date... is obviously they want like a, it's Kenny and Mari, so they want them nude, and the food eating off of the nude body is a classic, but tacos are, you're meant to pick them up and eat them with your hands, so it's kind of a weird, like I was like, I don't understand the logic behind, you're just putting like a tortilla on somebody's body, and then you're topping the tortilla, and then I guess you pick it up and eat it?
Well,
like,
as an American, the only food they eat in Mexico is tacos.
Well, they had a chef there for no reason. That's very awkward.
Yeah.
There's no reason to do that.
No, I mean, they could have just given them a table full of ingredients and had them go at it. But instead, there is a chef standing there, which, yeah, I laughed out loud at one point because it was, I think it's Mari's on the table and Kenny's making the tacos on top of her and he's climbed on the table and he's like straddling her and then they just pan out to a wider shot and the chef is like standing next to them being like, hello, I'm here.
Yikes. I didn't see any of this. Good thing I didn't. I don't remember that at all. Or maybe I did see it and I blocked it out. It's very... Yeah,
honestly better for you.
Very gross.
I'm planning on scrubbing this memory from my brain after this podcast because it just grossed me out. Like every time they do anything with food and sex on this show, it grosses me out. But this one in particular, Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, I mean, the good thing about this is what I don't get about this. I don't want to say the women on the show, but it tends to be the women. Is that a lot of the times the women on the show, Marissa and Mari included, actually not so much Mari, but kind of Mari. Isn't it the best case scenario for these kinds of women or these kinds of people to have an end date so that you don't have to ask, you know, when's the L we're going to come up and where is this going? There's actually a place where there's actually a time in this show where they separate you and the guy decides whether he's going to propose or not. So you don't have to do anything. It's like totally hands off dating where you can let things play out and not have to say those things. Look, we have to have a talk about where a relationship is going. It's great. That is such a, I think, dream scenario for a lot of people watching, is that I wish there was some date me and my partner could come to where we are going to say at this point, we are deciding from here on out where this is going. And the show does it for them. And that still people have all these questions along the way, right? If you're committed, you shouldn't really question too much. Because that time is coming. So, yeah. I don't know. I think that's...
Okay. I see what you're saying. There is a built-in, in, like, real-world relationships, somebody would start a conversation to be like, what is this? What are we doing? What's the future? Whereas on this, there is a built-in timeline by which, like, you will know one way or the other, even if you didn't start the conversation, because they're given the option to, like, leave at that point.
Yeah.
But I think they still feel pressure to say, like, well, if you don't hit certain steps before you get to that mandated time, then maybe that means the man isn't going to choose, you know, like, well, we never talked about it, so I guess I'm out or something, is the way that I think they're looking at it. Like, you have to talk about it now so that you assume when you'll get to that stage that they're planning on proposing, although we've seen that in previous seasons. Like, I'm thinking of the last BIP. Isn't that kind of what happened with Katie and Chris, is that they did have conversations and she seemed to think that they were going to be leaving together. And then he still, at that point, was like, nope.
Chris and Katie, who? Who's that?
Chris Bukowski and Katie.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot believe I remember these names off the top of my head.
The last names I need, with two names like that, I need the last names. I'm thinking of a million Chris's and a million Katie's. I remember. Especially Bukowski, that guy is he's a seasoned performer on Bachelor shows, so he didn't care. There's no end date for him. He's just, he's like floating on to a new one. What were you going to say, Craig?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you were trying to say something about the best case scenario for women on the show for the most part. Okay. Okay. Tia. I love this conversation. did you guys? I know it's another thing I blocked out. Tia smacking Blake's butt while they were making out during her vagina dance.
Yes, I remember this.
Ew. I don't care how much she likes him. Why would you do it like that? She's just so awkward. Go ahead, Craig. Why do you hate Tia now?
Why do you keep putting words in my mouth?
You said that.
I said I hate Tia. Hate's a strong word.
Whatever. Why do you not... Why are you annoyed by her?
Well, she's always been annoying, but she totally overreacted on Blake. My God.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I disagree. My goodness, Craig.
Are you serious? You call him all kinds of names. And he was like, what the hell are you talking
about? Okay, wait a minute. Let's listen to it.
Here's the one chance. You know it's a choice between you and someone else, and you can't even try?
Like, you know I'm a simple person, and I'm not about, like... I wanted to just talk to you. We haven't had a legitimate conversation since our date.
I know. So like, and why wouldn't you just grab me and be like, let's go freaking talk? Like, the first
you
thing
don't
you
think have, I was gonna like,
but why didn't you just do it? Just show some initiative and just freaking do it.
Tia, I care about you. I care about your happiness. I don't care about anything else. I don't know how much more clear I can make that. What do I need to do to prove to you? Like, seriously.
See, she...
Okay, wait, pause.
She
yeah,
went,
I'm pausing.
She went into an argument with already knowing the result of the argument. You know I don't like that. Like, there was no way he was going to be able to convince her
sure
otherwise.
Sure he was.
Craig, you're said, wrong.
Of course he was. Okay, but go ahead, Craig.
No, that's it. Apparently I'm wrong, so tell me
no.
What's right.
But she... Okay, so this is where... First off, Craig, do you think that he could have tried?
What on earth is going on outside? Do I think what?
Do you think he could have tried more?
Well, it's weird that if what Tia says is true, it's weird that he didn't talk to her for 2 days after their date. Yeah, that's very strange.
Okay, I'm going to unpause the clip and let's talk about it more.
I don't know. I'm making a choice between you and someone else. And all I can really go on is that person making an effort and you making an effort.
Tia.
Is it not?
Every conversation I've had with you, I've told you, like, I want you. I will do anything.
But, like, words only go so far.
If you just tell me what you want from me, I literally would do anything in the world, Tia.
Okay,
like,
You say that,
but okay. All I needed was for you to act like you gave two for 2 seconds.
Here, pause.
Okay. I just like the way she said,
2 seconds and two.
Go ahead.
It's not what she's saying, it's how she's saying it.
Yeah. I do agree with that, but she wants validation in that moment, and he can't even validate the secondary concerns, right? You didn't talk to me to begin with. Okay, and now that I'm having this conversation with you, you cannot even make it up to me now. So that's where she's at. She's on you know, it's not the action. You're not even sorry about the action talk. But then he can't rectify the first thing or the second thing. And so for me, I think, you know, you can't scrape the bottom of the Greg barrel. And then Blake comes along and does this. He does not seem interested in her. Greg from Katie season. She is trying to get him to validate her then, which is not as good, but acceptable, and he still won't do it.
Think Blake was validating Tia. It's just that she had already made up her mind. I mean, he was like begging her to reconsider, and she wouldn't reconsider. So that's not necessarily his fault.
That's so rough, though. I feel like Blake is waiting for someone, and he is not a good actor because his voice is so fake sounding to me. And she's picking up on that. You can hear in his voice. I'm just going to finish the clip because I think the way he sounds. So listen. So you were listening for how Tia sounds, Craig, as a man. I can see why you're doing that. Listen to how Blake sounds and tell me that does not sound like a fake put on. I was trying to look for you, but I care about you so much type, you know, very.
Well, he doesn't know what to say.
Sounding. But he sounds fake when
because
he says
he's in a defensive position.
Craig.
Yeah, I don't care about anything but you and I's relationship. Like, all I want from you is a conversation. That's all I need from you, and that's all I want to give to you. It wasn't that I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do something special because I don't care. I obviously care. Like, I want to talk to you in a real setting. Like,
this talk is not going really great.
This talk is not going real great.
See, this guy drove me crazy in this conversation because he was like going in a circle constantly.
Yeah.
She would say something and he'd just be like, but I'm here for you, Tia. you're the only one I care about. She's like, well, then why didn't she pull me for a conversation? He'd be like, but I'm here for you, Tia. You're the only one I care about. And I was just like, this is very weird. I don't understand why he can't shift gears in a certain way. But I have some contextual information gleaned from Tia's social media, which is that she posted about this.
Like, is waiting for someone? Okay, go ahead, tell me.
No, no, not that. Oh. Although, she basically said, so what we saw on the show is, like, they were over at the bar with a couple of other people, and they're talking about how some men are going to go home soon, and they need to, like, make an effort or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we saw a little bit of that on the show, and it seemed like Blake was kind of like, yeah, some men need to make an effort, not me, though. And obviously that rubbed her the wrong way. But the thing that we did not see on TV that she said sort of set her off was right before their conversation, Thomas was making a gesture for Becca that didn't end up on the show at all. But basically he set up one of those, like, you know, those weird internal mini dates that they do. And they walked past Tia and Blake, and Thomas was holding a plate of chicken nuggets and pictures of Becca's dogs and his dogs. And it was just like, Tia was like, why isn't anyone doing cute shit for me? And that, right, like, set her off when she was like, Blake's never even tried to do a weird mini internal date. You know?
Yeah. See, I'd be awful at those weird internal mini dates. That's not my style.
Yeah, definitely not. This whole season is, it doesn't, you know, back to the whole love here on the show, influencers hoping to latch on to more popular influencers as like a de facto mentorship program where they, because I don't remember this Blake at all. Right. And I don't know Chris. I don't know Alana. I don't really know Natasha. I don't remember her either. So I guess I'm not a casual viewer though, but if I could have remembered more. And the only way I remember them now is how long they stay on and who they couple up with that I do know.
Right.
So this is very, very, it just gets boring, I guess, to, well, boring is not really the, it's not succinct enough, but he is faking it though, Craig, can you at least get there that he's not interested in her?
I don't know if I would say he's not interested in her. That's going too far. He wanted to hang out at the bar instead of hang out with her. Understand.
Have you ever made out with someone or had a girlfriend made out with someone, had a tiny thing, and then hang out with your bros for the rest of the night?
When I was younger, sure. Yeah.
Now, isn't that rude?
Probably, yeah.
And doesn't that mean you were slightly less interested in the woman?
Yeah, well, you'd have to, for me, I'm not a bros before H word.
It's not that. That's not the same thing. That's not what I'm talking about.
It would take a lot for me to hang out with the bros over hang out with a woman that I was making out with. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he really doesn't like her. That seems weird that he would not hang out with her for 2 days. That definitely does seem weird.
And it makes me sad when a woman, I don't like Tia that much, but it does make me sad when a woman has that conversation of, why don't you, she's saying, why don't you like me? Why don't you try? And he's saying nothing. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I do like you. Well, you're not showing it.
Right.
Yeah. Gross. I think that's exactly, like, he was not putting in a lot of effort. It seemed to me like he thought after their date, where they were making out so much and she was like so sexually attracted to him, that he just thought, you know, he had it locked down. He didn't need to put in any other effort. Whereas in an actual dating situation, you would want the person who you're interested in to, like, want to spend time with you regardless. Right. Right. And he even says, like after he leaves and he's talking to some of his bros, and I can't remember which ones they are, that he was like, but I want that rose. He does not specifically say he wants it to be like, you know, he wants to be with Tia or something like that. It's like he's so clearly just thought he had done enough to make it through to the next cut, and then was like rudely awakened when it turns out that James was putting in some effort and Tia was like, maybe I'm reconsidering.
Right. James puts in effort by painting a stoplight on a
piece of it was a bad date, but at least they had a conversation. It's like, you're from a one stoplight town. Here's a cardboard stoplight.
And you know, I'm from the concrete jungle.
Yeah, it was stupid and probably the worst of those, like, you know, you see some of the other, like, mini date things where the Noah and Abigail one this episode was like, they have a hammock and margaritas. And I was like, that's simple, but that seems nice. You know, like, that seems fun. The James one was bad, but at least, yeah, I see Tia's point that, like, well, at least he tried something and they had a conversation together and he was, like, seemingly making an effort, whereas it seems like Blake kind of was just hanging out with people being like, well, I'll be here next week, so I don't need to worry about it.
Right. My, I think the sad part, Craig, has anyone ever, I'm sure they have, so just tell me the worst story here as in the best. Who has pulled you and had a conversation like that with you about how you're not paying enough attention to them? And what was that conversation like? He's like, you're Rolodexing. You're like, no. Oh, that one? No, that's a bad one, but not as bad as this.
No, I had this, it's not really the same. I had this summer fling where, like, I just wasn't really into her.
Mm-hmm. That's the number one thing you say first, right? Exactly.
That's the only thing that really comes to mind. That's Tia's
point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what did you do? Did you try to convince them? I mean, there has to be something.
It was just like when you have a deadline, like you were talking about, the deadline was the end of summer, and that was it for me.
Yesterday, right. Right. But the problem is that when a woman goes to have that conversation, see, this is my problem with what you're saying, though. You're saying that she's walking in knowing what she wants out of it or knowing how it'll end. She's trying, I feel like she was trying to pull him to her side, mm-hmm. but he wasn't doing it. So right. They're both, so he's lying.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't disagree, you know, whatever. It's fine. I think it, what you're making
doing it right now. I'm trying to pull you and you're like, whatever. Okay. It's frustrating because she wants to hear better. She wants that not to be true. I think that's what
How about this? What could he have said to make her calm down and then be lovey-dovey again?
Well, that's very packed in. First question in there is, does he actually like her? If the answer to that is yes, then he could say, okay, stop everything before her second paragraph, right? Pull her and say, let's go on a date right now. Let's go in the ocean. Let's go have fun. I want to be with you. Forget all the guys. That's what he could do.
All right.
If he doesn't like her, then he could do what he did, which he did.
Which is get defensive and whiny.
Right. Argue in circles, pretend like you want her, but you're just trying to go for the rose.
Okay. All right. You win.
Not trying to win. I'm trying to make you see that it's really, really rude to do that because mm-hmm. he's lying.
Right.
And she likes him and he's leading her on.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I agree.
Okay. That's all that I got. Alarm's over.
Yeah, I guess there's not really much else to talk about. Caitlin, any fashion?
There are only two things that I noticed that we could talk about if we'd like to.
Let's hit the fashion roundup.
This is the fashion roundup.
Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Yeah. All right, Caitlin, what's our fashion for the day?
So the first is a very small one, but when Kendall and Joe have their conversation, Joe is again wearing socks with his slides, but they're bigger socks than he's ever worn before. These are like almost mid-calf socks. Like athletic socks, little gray ones with white stripes with his Adidas slides. So he's moved on from the no-show sock to a complete full-show sock.
Yeah. If I were going to the beach in Mexico, I wouldn't even bring socks.
I'm still confused about why he's always wearing the socks, because it seems to me like it would be more uncomfortable than... You know, some people are saying, well, maybe it's because, you know, the sand could be really hot during the day. And it's like, well, that's what the slides are for.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know, wear a full on sneaker if you wanted full foot coverage, I guess. But it makes me feel like there's something very weird about his feet that he's hiding.
Well, yeah. I mean, Joe doesn't seem like he feels completely comfortable in his own skin. So I wonder if he has, like, something with his feet that he doesn't like.
Yeah, like, maybe they're, like, little hobbit feet or something, and he doesn't want people to see them. That's the only thing I can think of, because it's just so... It's, like, really odd as a choice. Because imagine wearing a slide sandal and socks, and you're getting sand in between both, like, the sock and your skin, but then also the sandal and the sock, and it just... Mm-hmm. It feels like it would be so uncomfortable. I don't get it, but... Regardless, Joe was wearing bigger socks than ever. I just wanted to point that out. Right. And there was a horrible outfit on this episode. A truly hideous crime was committed here by Mari on her date with Kenny.
She's wearing tacos.
No, she was wearing tacos, but before she got nude for the tacos.
The yellow dress.
It's a bright yellow, like, it's either a jumpsuit with a midriff cutout, or it's a matching pant and crop top. I didn't see the back, so I'm not totally sure. And it would be fine. But the true issue here is that there are partial sleeves on this outfit. Sleeves that start mid-bicep. So there's no shoulder, but they're like detachable sleeves that start in the middle of her bicep and go down to her wrist, and they are yellow lace see-through sleeves.
Right. You don't
They're
like that.
The ugliest thing I've seen in a long time.
Oh, man. I thought she looked beach appropriate, or, you know what, slightly off the beach appropriate. And that yellow color she seems to love, and it does go well with her skin.
She does love that yellow.
And it looks good on camera. I just have, you know, right thing, right place. I have a lot of
If it was not for the sleeves... For I wouldn't have even noticed it. Oh, you know what I mean? It would have been like an outfit. Cool. But the sleeves. I hate those sleeves so much.
Oh, I'm a big fan of lace. And so it didn't bother me. And it's just, it looked flowy to me. It looked like it worked. But I don't know. I only.
Who are we to argue? She was Miss whatever.
Was it Miss Puerto Rico? I think
Miss
she was.
Guam? I don't know. Yeah,
I think it's Puerto Rico, and it's like, you know, like it's a state, basically. They go to like Miss America or whatever, right. But
when
you're Miss Puerto Rico.
When they want it to be, when they need it to be. Jesus.
Yes.
Anyway. anything else? So you don't you don't like colored lace?
No, I didn't like that the sleeves started partway down her arm and they were like separate from the rest of the outfit.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It kind of made her look like one of those kites you see when people fly kites and they're like different. It's like a complex kite. It's not just a triangle or, like a rhombus.
There's always this, I want to say it's like a black octopus, gigantic kite that's flying kind of near between your house and my house, Craig.
Uh-huh. What, and, State Historic Park?
Yeah.
And yeah, well, there's lots of kites there. Yeah.
There are a lot of kites there. But it's the first time you're like, what is that? It's a weird, gigantic black octopus. And it's kites now are scary, but what? It was like a Cthulhu. But I don't remember.
Well, they've
why
gotten very complex, these kites.
Yeah.
And so her dress kind of looked like one of the kites.
Yeah, I love lace in general. I just,
oh, okay.
The way that the sleeves were formulated as a partial sleeve was upsetting to me.
Yeah, I agree.
One other thing to point out, that it's not specifically fashion, but it's related. When Damar and Ed arrive, what Aaron says is that Ed's legs, and this is a direct quote, I've written it down, Ed's legs are like two thick Christmas hams.
Whoa.
Oh, that's a loud one.
Yeah.
They
this
are
one's actually
massive.
in my apartment here.
They would feed a whole village of cannibals, is what Aaron says about Ed's legs, which is a weird comment to begin with. But it reminded me that on the Clatia season, Ed was made fun of for having chicken legs by Chasen. Chasen called him chicken legs. And now we have Aaron over here saying his legs look like two thick Christmas hams.
Yeah, maybe he meant like chicken drumstick. Like, they look meaty.
Maybe he got implants. That's a thing. You know,
I mean, they look like regular legs to me. I was trying to look after the Aaron comments. I was like, they just look like legs. They don't look intensely like... I didn't notice them being larger than other people's legs. So I don't really get what was happening.
That's weird. But what we normally, you know, what happens first off is that the fact that Ed's legs were a point of contention in that season might be the reason he even mentioned them. And then they have to say something like, oh, man, such competition, even if there is no competition.
Yeah.
Because at the end, there was no Ed, Damar, you know, there were all the drama they played up. Marissa did not want to go on a date with that guy, with Damar. I guess like Natasha being the only one left over had somewhere to go. Chelsea was not interested in even the guy she was coming back to. So I don't know.
I'm guessing that the producers are like, oh my God, Aaron, talk about how threatened you are by these two men. And the thing that Aaron chose to talk about was Ed's leg, but whole thing's weird. I was just like, yeah, they're regular legs. I don't get it. Also, stop lying to us about, like, on the date when Natasha kept on being like, Ed is so hot and he has such a hot body. And I was like, listen, Natasha, if you had said Ed was like a nice person or that he was funny, I'd be like, sure, I buy it. But you cannot sell me on Ed having the hottest body on the beach or being the hottest guy there, because we all have eyes as well. So, like...
apparently it's prime alarm time in my corner of the building.
Wait. Okay, last topic, though. Craig, Natasha, or both you guys, actually. Natasha has now had two chances at love. Ed is not the best guy. Has she been made whole at having her? There is no pick. There's no one she liked before.
Right.
You know, there was no one she was interested in this whole time. She seems very uninterested in dating, honestly. So she has kind of a very, like, bored look.
Well, I'd be bored with Ed, too.
But has she been made whole? Is this enough?
I think this is the end of her line. I mean, she's gotten... This is it for her on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, obviously the women have the roses when they finally go to the rose ceremony. So
what
she
on
can...
earth is that sound? Do you hear that?
Are they coming from your mic?
Yeah, it's from you, Craig.
I know. There's like a groaning now.
It's sort of like paper rustling.
Oh, what's going on?
Anyway, so is that enough for her?
Yes, sorry, I interrupted you, Caitlin. Oh. Go ahead.
No, I think it is enough. I think, like, she can choose somebody if she wants to. Yeah, but I think it's going to have to be enough because there's nobody... They're not going to send down, like, even more people for her. So...
So wait, two more weeks, 1 week off, and then Michelle season.
Yeah, I hope there's a good crop of men on Michelle season, because I can't take any more of this boring shit.
Well, there was, they showed a little preview during the commercial break, and one guy, I swear, says, "I used to be your student."
No.
He said something like, he either said I used to be a student, which is just fluff, like, "Oh, I used to be a student."
Or yeah, he said, "Has been a student." Yeah.
Or he said, "I used to be your student."
He can't be, because, I mean, unless he's like 14, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. She's not old enough to have taught somebody who would be of an appropriate dating age for her now. So
exactly.
She might have been a teacher for 10 years. You know, she might have been a teacher like right out of, like, because you can maybe teach while you're like, still going to college.
Like, she was a trainee. She could have taught like a middle teacher. And he was in high school or something. And she was like learning how to teach. Maybe. But either. I wouldn't like it as a pickup line if somebody came up to me as a person who teaches and was like, "I'm hitting on you. I used to be your student." I'd be like, "Well, I want to die." So
that happened to Rachel Lindsay, right? She was the nanny or the babysitter of one of the guys.
I was just
on her
thinking
seat.
That there's another time this happened.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Yeah, we gotta
stop it.
Okay. Follow us on social media and don't leave us a review this week, because we don't want a bad negative review.
Please forgive us for this horrible episode.
Pray for me. My ears are going to go numb.
You got to put in some earplugs.
Yeah, I think so.
There's going to be a real fire in the next hour. And they're going to be like, it's just they're just testing it.
Yeah. Okay.
Hilarious.
See you next week.
Bye.